The topic tonight, lesson 21, I do all these lessons kind of like testimony style. That's the only thing I know. Since I have no education because of that succulent example there, I didn't do very good in school. I just do my testimony through these lessons. But we're on gratitude. And let's just do the principle for that. Principle 7. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. That's a mouthful, to improve our conscious contact with God. How many other guys get that on their tongue, kind of like? We were just talking about that, our conscious contact with God, and that there is no coincidence, Isn't it great that we can have a conscious contact with God? Man. Anyway, and to be glad about it, have gratitude. That's our lesson. I just wanted to briefly, if I could do it in 2 minutes, which is going to be a miracle for Michael Rawls. But when I came here, I didn't have gratitude in my heart at all. I was angry when I came to CR. I just knew I needed to come. I was done. I was bone dry. I was sitting in my little studio apartment, which is really my office next to my shop. I lived there. Why go anywhere else? I could just go to work real fast. I was kind of like a recluse at the time. I was done with my adultery. I was done with my running around. I was done with my drinking and drugging. I had reached the very bottom, and nothing else was working. I was bone dry was the feeling, like dry bones in the field, I guess, like the prophet that was saying. I just had it. And I knew the only place I needed to go. I was in this backslidden state. I'd already walked with the Lord. I'd felt His mercies. I'd felt His love. I had felt His Holy Spirit. I had bathed in His presence, worshiping with the other saints, And so I knew where I needed to go, but it really ticked me off because I had to go to a place like this. I had to go to a church, and I did not like being in churches. It was a source for me. By the age of 7, that it was one of my abuses. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse or a crime. And the second biggest thing that happened to me was abuse that came out of the church. And then I just believed that I had suffered. And notice I said I believed that I suffered a whole bunch of abuses that came out of the church. But here I am sitting in my studio apartment and I'm bone dry and I need to go back into fellowship. And I knew it. It was absolute truth. I had done everything else. I hadn't studied a whole bunch of religions. I was too ignorant for that. They all seem kind of stupid anyway, so something's more stupid to me, I ain't going there. Anyway, I knew that I needed to go back to the Lord, short and simple. And so I flew here, came into the back parking lot, where we had it in the back room back there, sat out in my car, and you've heard me say this before, and I sat there and I said, okay, Lord, I'll go in there and I won't leave. And I was absolutely just in tune with what I was saying because I had left so many times, hurt, ticked off, or whatever. I just knew what I was saying. Lord, I won't leave, but I'm going to need Your help. So I came in and I sat down. And I mind you again, lesson 22 is gratitude. I had no gratitude. I had none. I just had maybe some source of obedience and the call of the Holy Spirit on my life. And I came in and I sat down. And it was a wonderful meeting, thank God. It was a wonderful meeting, a wonderful testimony from a woman who had been there and back, been beat up, and just the miracles of God. And the testimony was on her face, and it was the Holy Spirit just all over her. And I said, thanks for bringing me here, Lord. I guess there was a little bit of gratitude, but I thought this is comfortable enough. Well, I made it through 7 years coming to CR. And this was a while back ago. And I stood up here just like I am right now, and I was given a teaching. And I had a sense of gratitude, what I thought was gratitude. I didn't have a lot of pride. I didn't think I had arrived. I think it was in my heart that I thought I had arrived in some degree. But here I am. I'm up there, and I'm feeling good. And it was wonderful. I thought, 7 years. I haven't done anything for 7 years, let alone hang out with a bunch of Christians in a building, and we're the church. And actually, I'm starting to like it. I'm liking my brothers. I'm liking my sisters. I'm liking pastors. In fact, they were even starting to call me a pastor here. And so that was good. The next 3 years of my life were the worst I have ever done in fellowship. Was the worst I have ever done in fellowship. I'm not going to go into it. If some of you know me, you know some of the story about what's gone on with me here and in other places. But put everything aside, what was wrong or what was indifferent or what happened, I could have blown right out right there. It could have been easy. And I don't know why I didn't. It felt bad. It was a very lonely place to be for the first year and a half here. That was all about me. But it was very hard. And I had to then continue to love people that I'd learned how to love. I had to love them. And I felt hurt by them. There was some hurt that was going on here, and I had to love them. But I'm glad. Today I'm glad. I'm up here teaching again. I know I haven't arrived today. I struggle a lot. Every morning when I sit and I do whatever is a quiet time for me, five times does my mind wander somewhere else throughout the workday or whatever. I'm trying to have this quiet time with the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, or was I there? Oh, sorry, Lord. Or there's some kind of a natural thing going on. I burp or there's things that happen in the morning, I'm going, I'm supposed to have this quiet time with the Lord. I'm being all human and, humanity is just all around me. But that's the time when he reassures me he's real. And I just come to a simple place where I know him. I know he is. I don't know how. I don't know why. There's no intelligence there. I have no intelligence. In the linear things of humanity and man, I have no knowledge at all compared to what this Almighty God has for me. So I just trust him. I simply trust him. I don't do very good. Halfway through the day, I'm standing on somebody's bumper, and I'm going 65 miles an hour, and they're going 63, and I can't stand it, And I'm learning how to back off that bumper, but there's a sense that he's with me. I haven't arrived, but I'm very grateful that the Lord's with me. And that's it. That's it for me a little bit. But I am still struggling. I am still struggling with some things. I look at this thing that says that we sought through prayer and meditations to improve our conscious contact with God. And I wonder, well, why in the morning am I still five times going off into another direction? Well, that's just the way it is. But I'm okay with it. And on principle 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will. I wonder, I guess it's a patience thing, because I'm wondering, and if anybody's got my prayer card, you notice it's the same every time. I want to know God's will for my life. Right, Dan, you've got a couple times. It hasn't changed. Because that's what I want to know. I always want to know what God's will is for my life. And the teaching says to go back to principle 3. Principle 3 says, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. See, what I'm kind of trying to explain to you is I'm wondering why I don't have any control still yet. Why isn't there a sense of arriving, or why don't I have control over those five times I space out when I'm praying? Why am I still standing on somebody's bumper in traffic? Why? Why did I have a problem here? Did I not do this right? Did I not commit the right? Did I not make it the right kind of airplane prayer and throw it up the right way? I did, actually. I really did. The fact of the matter is, it's a matter of trust. When I'm having that time in the morning where I get to that place where I finally just, okay, you're God. I receive it. I simply receive it. I don't have to know everything. You're God. I can trust my life to you, Christ, for your care and control. I don't need to know how that works. I don't need to know how it operates. I just need to trust the process. And I can rest in that. And that's very reassuring. There's not a bunch of bells going off. There's not a bunch of stuff going on. It's just a simple reassurance. It's not a beautiful sound that just makes me feel, you know, song, you know, oh, that song, I love that song. It just makes me feel really good. It's not like that. It's just this small, simple voice, small, simple truth that he's real. And that's it. And it's wonderful. And I have the most purest form of gratitude that I can have at that point, that I just know that. So I'm really glad that it's a process, that I understand it's a process, and it's about that slow in 10 years, that I just come to that place where that I know there's not a bunch of lights and buzzers going off. I wonder why I can't walk up to the stairs and see some guy leaning against the stairs and grab his hand and pull him up to his hand and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Why can't I have the faith that just goes and does that like Peter did? Well, that's not happening with me. I just have this small, wonderful faith that says, it's good. While I practice these other things and these B's that you have there, and then we'll get into just the simplicity of the teaching tonight. Now, it's a little bit backwards. I've mixed it up. Because that's how I do things, right? And the first one is, I didn't number these. The first one is, be thankful for others. Is that how I got it, Ted? Oh, wow, great. Being thankful for others. So through that process, when I've had this last 3 years, what I went through, I really had to practice being thankful for others. I've been practicing thankfulness for my wife for many years now, and that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. And when I come here, I needed to be thankful for others. And there's just so many ways where you know how to need to be thankful for them. And I've also practiced understanding them. Like the Bible says, the best scripture, guys, for you and your wife, if it's a struggle with you, men, if you're falling short in the loving area, then try understanding your wife. And when you're doing that process, you'll find in that through that path, there's a way of loving her too. But I try to take that to other relationships too, and I try to understand people as much as I can. Just sit back and understand what's going on, and then I pray for them. But it's good to be thankful for others. It's good to be thankful for our pastors, our brothers, a sponsor if you've got one. And it's good to show gratitude to those people. In the notes for this lesson, it encourages you to take time in this space if you've got one. I don't know if you've got the list. I don't think it made it on those little brochures. But, oh, it is? Great. So you're supposed to take some time and write something down about how you can be thankful for others. But you can do that later if you like, or you can do it now. The scripture says, let the peace of Christ keep in tune with each other. In step with each other. None of this is going off. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Or the meeting, or the group, or the club, or, you know. Romans 12, 10 through 13 says, be devoted to one another. In brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, and just be thankful for our brothers and our sisters. Just be thankful for what happens around you. Also, another way to be thankful, too, maybe sometimes, give back. Sometimes a way of being thankful is to just start chipping in and giving back whenever you can, whenever the Lord shows you something you can do. You know, it can be an active thing. So that's the B in, I believe, your box number two, be thankful for others. In box four, the fourth one on your list there, be thankful for your church. I will give you thanks, O Lord, in the congregation. I will praise you among the mighty throng of people. Psalms 35:18. We need to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. That used to be a song. Remember that song? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his courts with praise. You remember the old thing where you say, this is the church, this is the steeple, open the doors, and here's all the people? Remember that? Did anybody ever do that? Well, we need to be thankful for the church. Especially this country we live in. We have a lot of freedom still. It's a wonderful place. And I know that on the news and in the stuff you hear and in the lack of this and the lack of that and they're coming after this and they're coming after that. But, you know, we can be thankful that we can meet in the open, out in the open. We might have to pay a park fee or go get a permit to gather somewhere else. But it's nice that we can be a church and be here. And we need to be thankful that we have a church, that God has given us a place where we have leaders and we have some structure and we have Celebrate Recovery and we have Leader Dave and Sponsor Daniel and, you know, and all you guys who are just here ready just to chip in and get moving on things. This is church right here. It's not just on Sunday, you know. It's a 7/24 happening. It's not just 2 hours on a Sunday. It's all the time. So not only do we need to be thankful for your church, but we need to be thankful that we are the church. These are just four things that are to be thankful for. Ways of having gratitude. I think it's just a sort of a practice run on gratefulness and gratitude. The next B is right in line there with how it should be. Be thankful for your recovery. Again, I'm thankful that I can come here. I'm thankful that I sat on my dry little chair, you know, 10 years ago and go into fellowship. Oh, man, I'm rolling my eyes. But I'm thankful that I got to that place where there was no other noise going on in my head and I could hear the Lord saying, go be with fellowship. Go be with your brothers and sisters, you know. Go get it going now. You're ready now. Now you can start getting some water and some stuff and feeling the growing and feeling the change and feeling the process of sanctification. That's what recovery is, sanctification. Hebrews 12:1. As for us, we have this large group of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. So we really need to be thankful that the Lord's given us this opportunity to be here and to grow together. And the fourth one, which was the first one, but I made the fourth the last because it's the best. Be thankful to God. And I thought, you know, how can I really wanted to make a lot about this, but it was real simple this morning. It came to me just this morning. And I pray sometimes, Lord, I'm not going to start studying this for about 3 days. I'm going to give you 3 days to give me the word. I'm just going to go through the lesson. I'll either mess up what they've got in the lesson or you're going to give me something. And I sat there for this morning in that little quiet time. And what I got out of it, and which was the most wonderful thing, and it's almost going to crack me up right now, but he knows me. Just as simple as that. What's the most wonderful thing in the world about the Lord? To me, what is it? Is that he knows me. He knows everything about me. Psalms 139:10-14. And after we get done, I like to see if we can sing a song. If we can get there. Walter needs to turn that on. Keyboards, Walter. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. He's got me covered. He's got you covered. And laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? I try. Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is not as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Be thankful to God because He knows me. He knows you. I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. Stand up. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. I have a Father. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. So, if you think about anything, we need to know that He knows us. He knows our heart. I heard a brother say, I know pain. He knows that pain. He knows the anger. He knows the fights. He knows the bills. He knows all the frustrations. He knows every need you have. And He knows what He's going to do about it for you. He's a wonderful, wonderful Father. Let's sing, I Have a Maker again.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Before even time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees. sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. You know my name, Lord. You know my every thought. You see each tear that falls, and you hear me when I call. You hear me when I call, Lord. You hear me when I call.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Father, I just feel, Lord God, that you want to touch, Lord. You want to heal. It's your greatest desire for us, Lord God, that we are complete, Lord, in you. Lord Jesus, I pray that there's a touching right now. Right now of lives, right now, Lord God, that people can just feel brave enough to reach out to you, Lord God, in whatever capacity and whatever place they are, Lord God, that they would just reach out right now, whether it's for your salvation, Lord God, whether it's for your healing, that this moment right now, they would see their need for you, Lord God, and that they would know, Lord, that they're here for that purpose, and Lord, that you would fill them, Lord God, with a sense of gratitude for that, that you've done it for them, Lord. That you've done it for them, Lord God Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. We receive this time and this moment from you, Lord God, and we just thank you so much. And we all said, hallelujah, amen.